Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 13th day of November, Anno Domini 2021, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And we have Steve Ray out there somewhere in Cyberland, and here comes Dennis Worcester, keeping up the tradition of Mac people being late.
Is that what you think of us?
Well, it's Steve. Steve, as long as he's in time to say I'm Steve Ray, he's not late. So you're late. Who are you?
That's true. No, I'm still Dennis Worcester. It's true.
And at 6 minutes after, at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Steve is.
I told you he coached him.
Yeah.
We were talking about you. Sorry to interrupt you on the news. But we were talking about how he must have re-educated you because back in the day, Steve was notorious. I mean, we could set our clocks to it. That once the news was just ending.
That's right.
As long as he was here in time to say, I'm Steve Ray. He wasn't late.
He wasn't late. So you're learning, you failed this time.
That's true. That's true.
Got to practice more.
Steve has us on StreamYard. I'm not sure where that's...
Okay, I'll get that set up too.
Where that's streaming right now. But
so
it's
what's
streaming
in the news?
Well, experts... Oh, yeah. It's Patch Tuesday, of course.
Yes, yes.
Experts urge users to prioritize patches for Microsoft Exchange and Excel, those favorite platforms so frequently targeted by cyber criminals and nation-state actors. Microsoft reported a total of 55 vulnerabilities, six of which are rated critical or 0 day, with the remaining 49 being rated important. The flaws are found in Windows, Windows Components, Azure, Azure RTOS, Azure Sphere, Microsoft Dynamics, Microsoft Edge, Exchange Server, Microsoft Office and Office Components, Windows Hyper-V, Windows Defender, and Visual Studio.
Well, at least they've got a list.
Yes. All in all, honestly, it's a pretty light month.
Yeah. Not affected? Microsoft Bob.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
I love Bob.
What parts, you know, they're reporting they're fixing this.
Yeah.
How many of them that they just sort of turn a blind eye to then? Oh, really? We didn't see that one.
Yeah.
And skip it for, a year.
Yeah. Historically speaking, 55 patches in November is a relatively low number, even going back to 2018 when there were only 691 patches all year. There were more November patches.
Okay.
Still, as always, this Patch Tuesday delivers high priority fixes, the most urgent of which being the duo that are currently under attack right now. One is an Exchange Server, which will have to be patched by systems administrators.
Right.
The other, however, fixes a security. That's you.
Well, no. We don't run our own Exchange. In fact, I'd be amazed. Well, I imagine there are companies that are still running their own Exchange. But boy,
and there are companies who run Exchange servers for other people.
Sure. Yeah. Well, service providers and other places. But yeah, running your own mail server these days, you could not pay me enough.
Oh, please. the other 0 day priority. Fixes a security feature bypass vulnerability in Microsoft Excel for both Windows and Mac OS computers that could allow code execution when opening a specially crafted file. It is being exploited in the wild as a 0 day. This appears. This seems due to loading code that should be behind a prompt that says, "Do you really want to do this?
Run this script?" Yeah.
Right. But for whatever reason, the prompt does not appear and bypasses that security feature.
Okay.
Microsoft doesn't suggest what effect the vulnerability might have, but its CVSS score of 7.8 gives it a severity rating of high. Updates are available for Windows systems, but updates for Office for Mac are not out yet.
Okay.
Microsoft Defender, as of yesterday when I wrote the news.
Yeah, I'm trying to do some real-time follow-up here.
There you go. Microsoft Defender has a remote code execution vulnerability.
And
yes, the program that's supposed to protect you from this stuff has a flaw.
And the problem that I have, just to halt you on that one, is, you know, unlike your other programs that we recommend, Defender is updated when, ever Microsoft feels like it.
Right.
It could be, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, you know, but they're doing the updates, you know. Yeah. Meanwhile, your machine gets infected.
Right. This means, the program that's supposed to protect you from this stuff has a flaw. Defender is designed to scan every file and run with some of the highest levels of privileges in the operating system. This means an attacker could trigger the exploit by simply sending a file. The victim doesn't even have to open it.
Wow.
Or run anything, because when they download the file, Defender checks it.
Right.
Executing it.
Right. That check
triggers
it.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to open the file. You don't even have to run the file.
That, on their part, that is pretty slick.
That is pretty slick. You got to admit it.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and remote desktop client.
Okay.
Also has a remote code execution vulnerability.
So they can just waltz in and take over your computer.
Yes. This issue affects RDP, remote desktop program, running on Windows 7, 8, 10, 11, Windows Server 2008, all the way up to 2019. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Patch Tuesday fixes 60 days, 55 bugs. Your choices are, I'm already patched, I'll patch today, I haven't patched in years, patches? I don't need no stinking patches.
I knew that was coming.
Windows and other. So far we have 25 votes with Windows in the lead, followed by I'm already patched. And of course, if you said other, or just if you have more to say on this subject, and I know you people, you will have more to say, head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff. You'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 13 November 21, Patch Tuesday fixes 60 days, 55 bugs. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
Should we also mention, though, to folks that if they're trying to see us live, we're not on camera?
Steve's working on that. As best I understand it.
Yes, Steve is working on that. He's got us up on StreamYard. I don't know.
Yeah, what about the cameras? The folks usually...
No, that's with cameras. I'm not sure where he's...
More updates as they become available, everybody.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's private chat. Then there's comments. Live viewer... Okay, that's live comments. I've got live comments set up on StreamYard. When Steve gets a chance, he's very busy today.
No doubt.
It's hard to stay one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest and stream a show. So he's doing his best. He's
keep working. Your eyes on the road, Steve. Keep your eyes on the road. Keep it between the painted lines there.
That's exactly right. And but we're trying to get up on various this's and that's's, so we'll let you know if that happens. So, yeah, there's this. The 0 days are out. You know, whatever else you do, at the very least, fix the two problems, the one with Excel and the one with Defender. Even if you don't use Defender, keep it up to date just in case.
Because it is still, even though that's the whole thing with the Windows, it's so integrated, you know, like the Internet Explorer and everything. They're built into the system. Even though you can delete the icon, say, off your desktop.
Right.
Or even have it erased from your menu so it doesn't show there. It's still built into the system. You could do a search and find that executable program and still run it. So it is still built in there. And like Nick was saying, though, the Defender is still going to be there. You can't get rid of it. You can disable it and not run it, but still do the patchings because it is another door or avenue for them to come in and attack your machine.
That's exactly right.
Real-time follow-up. I have done some investigation. The most recent installer that I see for Excel for the Mac is October 12th, so it does not have the updates that we were just talking about yet.
Right.
But I suspect those are coming soon.
Right. I agree with you. I'm sure it is. I'm sure they're working on it diligently.
Yes.
You know, poor Microsoft, it's not like they have a lot of people that they can put on a project. They're a tiny little company.
Struggling
company, and they just don't have that number of people. I'm sorry.
They keep plugging along. You know?
But they're working at it.
Plucky little underdogs, those guys.
Plucky little underdogs. All right.
I do hear that, let's see, the Microsoft Office 16.55 November update will require macOS 10.15 Catalina or later. So if you are what we call N-2, you know, if you are not on the latest release, but you're on the previous or the previous to that, then you can get this Office update. But if you've got an older machine that's running an older version of macOS, macOS 10.14 or earlier, then you're going to want to freshen that before you can get this update.
And if you can't freshen it, you're out of luck.
That's just the way things are. Yeah.
You might want to try LibreOffice or Mac. What do they call it?
Neo Office.
There's a version of OpenOffice specifically for Mac.
Right. Yeah. And I think that one is the Neo Office.
Yeah.
And naturally, there's also all of the Google and cloud tools that you can do.
Right.
I loved it. Talking about Office and that, I had a friend send me some slides and that, you know, because I had to do some. And he goes, so what version of Office do you have? I go, Office?
Yeah.
I don't use Office. Well, that might be a problem. I go, just send it to me.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and I made the corrections that I had to. I put them back as his Office.
Right.
And sent it back to him. He goes, how'd you do that without Office? Google.
Yeah.
Yep. You can do it in Google. I used to use, before there was a Google, I used to use LibreOffice at RIT. Of course, we're the School of Business, so it was all Windows all the time.
I'm sure, yes.
And faculty would send me files. This is my, you know, next book, and it's screwed up. Well, use your backup. Well, I don't have a backup. Okay.
And by the way, it's in ClarisWorks format. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, but it was generally in some version of Office.
Can you read WordStar?
Yeah. Actually, yes.
And there's a database tied to it that's done in DBase.
Yeah, right.
It's all got embedded tables.
People would send me stuff, and then I would fix it for them and send it back, and they thought I was a genius. But now that I'm retired, I can say how I did it,
right.
Which is that...
You can reveal all your tricks.
Yes. When Windows... when Microsoft Office loads a file, if there's an error, it just gives up.
Right.
Yep. It just stops and says, can't do the thing.
Sorry.
Yep.
What?
It fails. LibreOffice, it fails safe.
Safe. What LibreOffice does is say, okay, I could read all of this.
Right.
And after this screwed up section, I can read all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you all of that and leave out that little bit in the middle.
Right.
So I could send that to them and say, I managed to recover everything except this one little section.
That's right. You need to rewrite the middle one page of one the 20 page. Pages.
Right.
Or it might even be 100 pages.
Sure.
Or it could be just a couple sentences.
Right. So, and they were always so grateful and so thrilled. And then eventually, of course, we rewrote everything so that everything was saved on the server.
Yeah.
So that I didn't have to do that anymore. But... they thought I was a miracle worker and a genius for not using
You're
Microsoft
a wizard,
Office.
Nick.
You're a wizard, Harry. That's how you know someone's a wizard. They have a long beard, so someone else can say to them, "You're a wizard, Harry."
Yes. That's why I had the tattoo. FM.
That's right. All right. To the phones. Our first call is Larry, patiently waiting in Spencerport, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up? Oh no.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. On Thursday, I updated Windows. I have Windows 10 on a desktop.
Okay.
And that said, a thing came up, and I set up a time for doing the restart. And so I, about in the evening, I did it, and the thing was running. I let it go when I went to bed. I got up in the morning, and when I turned it, when I got up, the computer was off, so it shut itself down. I turned the computer on, and all I get now is just a HP symbol, Hewlett Packard it is, and the little five little dots circling clockwise at the, below it, and that, and I can't get on the computer. Nothing happens.
Yeah, it sounds, well, it's one of two things. How long have you been watching the circle?
Well, over a couple of days, I turn it on, and I come back and check every once in a while, and I've left it on for probably 8-10 hours and then turn it off.
Okay.
Plenty, long enough, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, at this point, I'm afraid you're going to have to take it to a professional.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to have to test that hard drive to make sure that it's even... spinning correctly.
Right. So, well, yeah, they're at some point because the dots are going, so it loaded something. But you really need to, I'm afraid, I hate to say this, but you're going to have to take it somewhere, go to a reputable dealer and have them check it out. Because this is well beyond, here's a couple of things to try over the radio.
Yeah. It's either gotten stuck when it's been trying to load something.
Yeah.
Or it's waiting for a message to come back saying, hey, this loaded successfully, move on to the next thing. Or it is checking itself over and getting you stuck in some kind of loop while it's doing
How
that.
How old is the machine anyways?
Might be 4 years. 4 years, I think.
Not terribly
so
old.
It's not that old. Should be able to handle Windows 10, no problem. How much memory?
Eight gigabytes.
Okay. All right.
That would work.
Yeah, no, that's all good stuff because sometimes the updates seem like they take forever. Once they, you know, it says it's restarting.
Right.
Yeah.
And it sits there and you can watch that circle go around and around. And you can see that happen for a couple hours.
Right.
But not over 8 hours. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is over a couple of days.
No, I think you might have gotten, unfortunately, a bad download and patch into it that there might have been a section of the hard drive that was bad and it hit it. It didn't know because it doesn't check that. And got a hiccup in it and
got stuck there.
Yep. Then might have to reinstall everything. And hopefully you have everything backed up?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Good man. We love hearing that. Yeah, okay. Once you get this storage thing figured out, I think you're going to be good to go.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
All right. Apparently we are up on YouTube and Facebook.
Oh, splendid.
Because Steve is right on top of all of this. And I have checked. It seems that it's only my USB audio.
Okay. I'm about to check in with what was the name of that?
StreamYard.
StreamYard, yes.
Okay, hold on.
I'm logging in now.
Oh, he's getting the callers, but also an echo from the radio delay. Okay, that's weird. I don't know why that would be, honestly.
All right.
I'm plugged into the right thing, or I wouldn't be getting anything.
This is great radio.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Hi, James, what's up?
Yeah, I have a question for you. I bought a new laptop with the Windows 10. What exactly is this OneDrive?
OneDrive is storage in the cloud. So Microsoft maintains about 5 gig?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. for each Windows user up in the cloud. So you can store data, store your files up there, or designate a folder on your desktop that gets mirrored to the cloud. So you have the data not only on your desktop, but also in the cloud.
Now, should I put my pictures in OneDrive?
Well, if you do, you only get 5 gigabytes.
Which could go pretty fast if you've got a lot of pictures.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So it might not be enough space.
Right.
Or is that just for, like, say I'm downloading a document or like a one-off things?
No, it's generally designed to be the space you use when you are backing up as part of your backup plan. You should have a local backup. Uh-huh. You should have an off your machine backup, and it's good to also have an in the cloud backup. Now, 5 gigs is not a lot, but that's all Microsoft gives you for free. Lots of places give you a certain amount of free storage. For example, Google gives you 15 gig.
Yep.
Apple gives you 5 gig. Microsoft gives you 5 gig. You can buy more, but that's what you get for free. You can also use OneDrive for storing documents you create in, what do they call it this week, Microsoft 365?
Office 365. Mm-hmm.
Office 365. So there's an online version of Microsoft Office.
It runs inside a web browser.
Right. And when you save files in that, they are saved in OneDrive.
Which makes it easy to share them with other people. If you have something that you're writing or working on that other people need to see, you can invite them to that document, and then they can go through their own web browser right. to see your document.
Yeah, I use the Libra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so if you save...
It's like a storage in the cloud.
Yes, so. Exactly what it is.
All right, so I'm getting used to it. Okay, I'll try to work my way with it.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You know, by storing it up there, it's free.
It's free, but it's only 5 gigs. So if you've got a lot of pictures, and I've got...
Not so great for pictures,
bucket load of pictures. Well, right. You're going to run out of space quickly.
Right.
But if it's documents...
Yeah.
5 gig. Well, you can look at the properties of a folder,
mm-hmm.
and right click on it and select properties and take a look at how much space it takes.
Yep.
So you'll probably be surprised at how much your pictures take, but you'll also be surprised the other way at how little space your documents take.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the important documents, let's say you put all your very important documents in one folder. With other folders under it or whatever, however you want to organize it, but one folder.
Mm-hmm.
You can then say to OneDrive, that's the folder I want to back up.
Yeah, that's the one to keep a copy of off of outside of my computer.
Right. So the things like insurance papers, medical papers.
Yeah, financial
stuff like
documents.
That, financial documents of all sorts. That's the stuff that you would want to keep in that folder. And then you can say to OneDrive, mirror that folder. So if something happens to your machine... Those documents, at least, are still on the OneDrive.
Right. And for most Windows drivers, our users, they can just simply go into their users folder. And then under their user folder, for them, you'll see a folder that says documents. And if you select that one...
Well, but depending on how many documents you have, you may fill up your 5 gig.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you make a document, if you make a folder inside that says, important documents.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And put those in. Yeah, that's the reason.
Yep.
And then, you're not limited to one storage system. So mm-hmm. you could, if it's particularly if it's less than 5 gigs, you can store it on OneDrive, on Apple iCloud.
Yep.
You could store it on Google Drive. You can store it pretty much. There's a million places you can store it.
Amazon has them. Google has them.
Right.
Apple has them. Microsoft has them. It's a common feature that all the different providers.
But that's
offering.
The one thing you do not want not to do is not back them up.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta flip back and forth on how many negatives there were in that sentence.
Yeah, right. No, he's right. You wanna have multiple backups.
Yes.
Yep.
As we say on our website, you don't have enough backups.
Yeah, and too many folks, Steve and I have both seen it over our careers, and folks coming in and they go, well, I meant to back up. Yeah, well, we meant to save your data, too.
Right. All right. We are going to take a quick break. You can give us a call at 585-966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. And while you do that, we'll take a quick break and be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites, on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And before I forget, let me remind everybody that next day, tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, English is what now? Tomorrow at 9 p.m., we will have the Soundbites Lounge. We do that every Sunday night from 9 to 10. If you go to soundbites.org/lounge, all lowercase, and that's bites with a Y, of course, you will see a link at 9 p.m. Don't bother to go there before 9 p.m. There will be no link. But at 9 p.m., there will be a link, and you can so refresh at 9 p.m. You'll see the link, and you can join in, courtesy of Mastermind Lounge. Very nice.
Nice.
All right, and you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415, and I will read the news. You might have noticed a bunch of ominous warnings to delete the mobile version of Google Chrome browser popping up in news feeds lately, but don't go rushing off to uninstall it just yet. The reason behind the fear-mongering to delete the Google Chrome browser on your phone or tablet is, needless to say, on security grounds. No, it's not the Chrome Zero Day exploits for which Google issued a warning last month. The current delete Chrome browser scare seems to originate from a security researcher tweet detailing how Google's mobile browser can tap into and use your phone's accelerometer for allegedly nefarious purposes. There is plenty of analysis that can be gleaned from having access to your phone's accelerometer for various mobile applications, with the worst offenders being Facebook and its satellite messaging apps like WhatsApp and all the other
Messenger,
stuff.
Yeah.
While initially warning about this potential security lapse regarding iPhone apps, the security researcher is now also warning Chrome users on Android that the mobile browser probes their accelerometer all the time. The researcher doesn't outright say go and delete the Chrome browser from your phone, but rather shows how to disable the default accelerometer data sharing option. Needless to say, this has been made out to be much more than it actually is, and warnings to delete the Google Chrome browser have been mushrooming over the weekend with little to no reason. In short, instead of taking the radical step of deleting your Chrome browser, you should simply go to Settings, Site Settings, Motion Sensor, turn off the default accelerometer data sharing if you're worried that bad actors might misuse the option. So, were you caught by the fear-mongering? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
In other news, the same researcher was seen in Nebraska, where there are many molehills. When reached for comment, he said, "I intend to open a ski resort
on these mountains." Yeah, the thing is this. Yes, the accelerometer can indeed fingerprint your particular machine. And those data are indeed accessible to many, many programs, including Google Chrome. However, if you go into Settings, Site Settings, and the Motion Sensor menu, and disallow Chrome from using those data, then that stops. You don't have to delete the browser. You don't have to throw your phone into a microwave. All you have to, and this is for phones only, by the way.
Right.
All you have to do is turn off the sharing of data to Chrome, and you're done. It is fear-mongering at its worst.
Yeah.
Look, let's remember something. If it bleeds, it leads. The number one items on any news site are the ones that will scare you the worst. That's how they make money.
That's how they get your attention.
That's all
they
get your attention.
They're attention getters. That's all they're meant to be, is to also pull you in, and then you listen to the other stories in that.
Right.
You know, if you have a choice between reading a story that starts out with, "Here's a little thing you might want to do," or, "Oh my God, if you don't do this, zombies will come out of your phone and eat your brain."
Yeah.
Which one are you going to read first?
Yeah.
And maybe you'll never get to the second one. So, you know, be aware that a lot of this is just fear-mongering.
Yes.
You do not have to delete Chrome browser from any device you own. You just have to be aware that every operating system shares data, and you can turn off those sharing things for various devices easily, quickly,
do a little
and not have to worry about it
anymore.
Be
so
critical.
Do a little more research than trying to be so proactive to responding to somebody else's criticism or, you know, oh, you got to do this. Well, wait a minute. You've got a brain. Use it and do a little of your own homework. Sometimes, you know, you might learn even a little bit more.
That's
that,
right.
Oh, mate, hey, I could also do this and do that to better protect, you know, me from other stuff. And that's the whole trouble. People are so easy to react, just like when they get the emails and all that. Oh, you've been scammed in that, and they've got a link to the bank, and they quick click on that, and then wonder why they get hacked. Because, well, it looked like something from the bank.
It looks legitimate.
If I want to spend the time on an afternoon, I can create a site that you would swear looks very authentic to one of any of the major banks around here. Because it, all you're doing, all they're doing is literally going to the website, copying a lot of their graphics, and pasting it back onto their page. The only thing different is the URL. You're not, most folks don't pay attention to that. And that's something to me that should be in bigger, bolder print. When you're, you know,
that this URL doesn't match what it's intending to.
Yeah, or some type of warning, or just paying, being more aware of it. Instead of the graphics and the oohs and ahs and all that, wait a minute, that's over in Russia? No, my bank's not there. That's you right. know, do a little more, you know, proactive part in searching those websites on the address bar.
I've been thinking about putting up a page on how to tell an email is fake.
Okay.
And I probably should do that sometime this week.
I've seen issues, not necessarily where the emails come in, but they attempt to be from your boss, right? So it's people that are attempting to impersonate your boss, and they take the boss's name, they put that, they grab the signature block at the bottom of the image, I'm sorry, at the bottom of the typical legitimate email. And they say, "Hey, have you got a minute? I've got a project I need you to help me with. And by the way, keep this to yourself." You know,
right.
And they send that out to dozens and dozens of people, and you know, one or two respond back and say, "Yeah, what is it?" And they say, "Well, okay, all right, I need you to go over to Walgreens and get some gift cards."
Yep. Yeah. You know. Anytime any email or website or phone call tells you to go get gift cards, hang up. Delete the email. Get off that website.
Something's up.
It's a scam, definitely. Unless it's your kid.
Yeah.
Sitting in the living room saying, "Dad, I really need a gift card so I can play this new game."
Yeah. That's a different.
That's different.
I have been watching lately quite a few different YouTube videos about scammers. Scammers scamming the scammers.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to have fun and see how, you know, dumb some of these scammers are. And just listening to their language as far as the way they pronounce things and, you know, say, well, you're in, you know, serious trouble and all this. And they're yes. coming to the door to arrest you and all that. And they don't even know who you are yet.
Right.
As far as your name or address, because they're still trying to get it out of you. And I was literally in stitches.
If they're going to come to your door. And they're going to come with any amount of force. They're not going to call first.
right.
Well, there was one I just watched, you know, probably a week ago, where the scammer actually called this captain.
Oh, yes.
At the police department.
The police station.
Yes. And she's handing.
And that was a good one.
And she's putting up the post-it notes how she gives the address and phone number, and it's the actual police station.
Yes, send them right
address
over.
And phone number. Well, we're sending the police right on over. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sending over John? John's working today.
He's at the next desk. Hold on. I'll patch him in. Listen, there are places you can go when you think something is a scam. There's Snopes.org, Snopes, named after the Snopes family in the William Faulkner trilogy.
Right.
And factcheck.org are two of the big ones.
Yeah.
And you can go to those sites and see what's actually going on. Actually, Wikipedia has a list of fact-checking sites. And
oh, that's good.
If I get it. We'll
but the that. One thing I have said, and I've said it for over a decade, is if you have to think for 2 seconds about an email or something that you should be reacting to, or even a phone call, hang up. Because if it is serious, they will call you back. One, the IRS, Microsoft, and all these other big corporations will not, have not, or will ever call you.
Right.
Unless you plan, you know, you call the IRS and leave a message for them to call you back at a scheduled time.
Right. Right.
Otherwise, no, they don't call you out of the blue to let you know you owe money.
Right.
So if in doubt, hang up, or if you see an email that doesn't look familiar to you, delete it.
Yep.
Because if it is that important, they will send you, there's still this thing called the U.S. mail.
The what now?
Yeah. The U.S. mail, and they'll send an official letter.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like analog. It's very retro.
Yeah. Very retro. And let you know that they tried to get a hold of you or you're this or that. Don't fall for it, folks. And I can't say it enough because right now we're just coming up to the kickoff of the holiday season. And, you know, they're getting primed.
Yep.
And they're going to come up with newer and faster schemes to steal your information and your money.
Right.
That's their two main goals in life, is to separate you from that. And they don't care. They could care less if that was your last $100 and, you know, maybe they're going to shut off RG&E or whatever, because they get their money. That's all they care about. That's what they're being paid to do, or they're trying to do, so they can make money.
That's right. So, yeah, if you get something from one of these people, call those people directly. If it's your bank, call your bank. There's a number on the back of your credit card. If it's RG&E, you know the number to RG&E. Give them a call. If it's, I get them all the time from banks I have no money at. So that's a clue right away that it is not me.
Yeah, they're going to discontinue my credit card. And one of them, I said, oh, please do.
I got an email one time that said, I'm writing on behalf of your son who's stuck in Thailand.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
And needs you to get credit cards.
He must have been stuck there a long time.
A long time.
Whoa, wait a minute.
So I turned to my daughter, who was sitting on the couch next to me, and said, apparently, you've had a sex change and you're in Thailand.
Or Elaine and Amelia don't know of a second life that you had and have a secretive son somewhere.
Not judging.
One that I don't know about, so
maybe. He comes up to you as
hot thing. News to me.
News to me. But, so, you know, get suspicious.
Just a little.
Is the way to do it. Get suspicious.
It's okay to be more suspicious than less suspicious in this regard.
Like I say, you can always apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was a scam. And you'd be within your rights.
Right.
Because there's so much more, and I'm sure they would fully understand. So you don't never have to worry about, oh, upsetting somebody. No. Don't even think twice of that. Because of the way the world is nowadays, you know, everybody's got to be very cautious. It's just the world we live in now, folks. You can't take anything for granted. The one thing you can take for granted is probably most of the time those emails and everything else, all they're doing is out there to get you.
That's exactly right.
Be proactive.
Be proactive. Be cynical. It is not a bad thing these days, particularly when it comes to those emails and stuff, to be cynical. It's okay to be cynical in this instance. Particularly if they ask the big red flag, if they're asking for gift cards.
Yeah, totally.
That's a huge red flag. Immediately hang up or throw the thing away or whatever. That's the way that's going to work. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. Since you're on the subject, I got a new one. I got a call this past Wednesday saying it was the U.S. Border Patrol.
Oh.
I had a suspicious package come over the border. Please call this number so we can check it out. I laughed so hard I dropped the phone almost, and then I hung up. Just thought I would throw that in. You guys are doing a great job. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir.
Larry, you too. Thanks. Have a great day.
The Border Control.
The Border Patrol. I thought maybe they'd finally caught up with Larry.
Oh, well.
Apparently it's just a package.
He knows why.
He knows why. But yeah, and you know what? If you know somebody overseas or just out of the country who might send you a package, call them and ask them if they sent you a package. Yeah. Very rarely will someone send you a package and not say, take a look for overseas, particularly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, my sister-in-law sends packages to my wife all the time.
Okay.
But that's Arizona.
Right.
So, okay. And it's a little, it's a card, it's a little thing, yeah. You know, whatever. And Elaine does the same thing for Marsha, sends nice. Her stuff all the time. But, yeah, apparently they actually like each other. Now that they're half a continent away. I just don't know. Yeah, they've always pretty much liked each other. Except during their teenage years. Have we got somebody on the line?
We do.
We have Joe from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Joe. What's up?
Hello, guys.
Hello.
How do you change the file association on an Android? Ooh. I went nuts the other day. I wanted to watch a video, and I had VLC on, and I usually get the message for selecting which app I want to view it.
Right.
So I would usually select Google Photos, and that would always run, but it wouldn't work with VLC. And by mistake, when I got that message, which app do you want to choose, I selected VLC, and I selected always use this app.
Right.
And VLC wouldn't run it. And now the only way I could get that file to run is to uninstall VLC.
Now what you can do is go into Settings.
Right.
Under Search Settings, type Default.
Or
go to Apps and Notifications.
Right, and then under Apps, so once you type Default, you'll see a bunch of stuff, one of which is Apps, Default Apps. And you can go in there, and again, you select Default Apps, and you can change which app does what for who.
I did that, and it wasn't even listed there. Like, VLC wasn't there, Google Photos wasn't there, So should it have said which app you want to run, watch videos with, or?
Well, what it might have been was you needed to click opening links at the bottom of that list.
Okay.
And then under opening links, you would find whatever you want and set that to be, you know, the thing. That
VLC
you want to do.
Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The default. Okay, I don't try that one or not. Everything I tried on, I searched it, and went going to folders, data folders and everything, and nothing. And
the way to do it is what I just said.
Okay, man, that drove me nuts. Now, why wouldn't VLC run a video from a text? I got like an error message saying VLC can't open data backs or forward slash dot, all kinds of.
Well, it's one of several things. it might be that you did not give VLC permission to run things from the web. It may be that VLC, while it's amazing, it can't run everything, particularly on Android. It doesn't have all the codecs, the converters.
With an MP4.
Should work, but it just may not have had. I mean, there's 50 reasons, so.
Right.
The easiest thing to do is to go in and change the default app for that particular type of link.
Yep. Okay. All right. Cool. Thanks, you guys.
You got it.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Bye.
Have fun.
Yeah. Some little things like that that just drive you nuts, and you know it's something so simple, but
yeah,
when they bury it three levels deep.
Right. The problem is the concepts move from device to device.
Right.
But the way you get to the thing to make it work that way is different from device to device.
True. And on some platforms, it's here's the type of file. What do you want to open it with?
Right.
On other places, it's here are a list of applications. Which types of files would be okay to open with this?
Right.
So they come at it from two different directions.
Right. Exactly right. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I'm trying to figure out this problem I'm having with the Chrome.
Okay.
I got a Samsung Galaxy A32 cell phone, and the Chrome keeps crashing, and several fixes have been. One of the fixes was to uninstall and reinstall Chrome, The system will not let me just leave it uninstalled. It automatically reinstalls it. I did a system update, which was the latest security patch that they had November 1st. They've tried switching cell towers. It seems to be certain websites, maybe all of them, maybe just random. When I go into the search bar, it just goes back to the home page. To the computer or the cell phone's home page, not the site home page.
All right. There are a number of tips that I can give you. The number one really should be Google Play services, updating Google Play services, because that's intertwined on a Chrome, on a an Android device that's intertwined with Chrome itself, and that's a known issue if it keeps crashing. So what I will do is I will post a link to several things you can try.
Okay, super.
To do that, I'll do that during the break.
Okay.
Coming up shortly.
Yeah, that's just true. Just a couple of minutes.
Not long now.
So yeah, okay. I will happily do that. 2 minutes. So yeah, the problem that this goes back to the sort of thing we were saying earlier. Things are intertwined differently on the different operating systems. So on Android, Google Play services and Chrome are intertwined. They share code. They share a code base.
Yeah.
So sometimes Google does the updating for the Chrome for the base. Sometimes Google Play services does the updating for the base. You just have to know which one is doing it next.
I got a second issue that the internet, when I'm on a site and I'm searching for something or I'm scrolling through, it says there's no service, and then it comes back service. No internet.
Dead spot.
Yeah, are you that just, that's something somebody's going to have to take a look at your phone for. It may just be that the phone itself is old or.
Were you moving around when that happens?
Nope, sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many bars did you have when you had service?
4 bars of 5G.
Yeah. Okay. It may well be that it's the phone itself.
Yeah, because 5G, that's still
pretty resilient.
Yeah.
So it's not like your microwave is coming on and
lightning,
knocking it down.
It's, line of sight, and it's got to be a good line of sight.
Yeah.
And if you've got 5 bars of 5G, unless you've got a neighbor who's intermittently blasting a microwave transmission somewhere, the likelihood is that your phone is just dropping.
Or is it in a old house like yours or mine?
Well, but if he's not moving around, it's not that either.
Mm. I could be sitting in my den,
mm-hmm.
and I'll only get 2 bars. I can go out to the kitchen.
Right. Yeah, I understand that, but he's got 4 and then none and then 4 without moving.
Yeah, that smells like the device.
That's the device.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, brand new device, too.
It's what?
Brand new, he says.
Brand new.
Well, I don't doubt that.
We'll post some links for you, and you can give them a shot.
I'll give them a look first.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, that music signals the end of the first hour, but do not despair. There's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites. It's member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. You are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Dennis Worster, kind enough to completely upend his weekend and come in here to help us out.
Happy to do it.
Delighted to have you. And because Steve Ray, one step ahead of the law, somewhere in the Southwest, but has found a signal high on a mesa somewhere in southern Arizona.
That's right.
And is streaming us on StreamYard and Facebook and YouTube. So
he's waiting for the V8 and his Dodge Charger to cool off as he is going to prepare to go off into the sunset later today.
That's exactly right.
At 4:45 or whenever it is.
4:45. Yeah. Right.
I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it.
All right. Sounds like there may be a call.
Maxine? Okay. Our next caller, Maxine, from Greece, New York. Hi there. What's up?
Hi. I've got a question. Good meeting you guys. I've got a question on Thunderbird.
Yeah.
In the last update of Thunderbird, it now opens up a print dialog box whenever I go to print a PDF file from it.
Right.
And I keep getting it's not enough memory, not enough memory. It keeps, 'cause I open up big documents.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
And I've looked through the whole Thunderbird entirely, and I can't find where I can turn off that print dialog box and go back to having it open up a PDF reader. A few weeks ago. And I can't find where to find anything to click or turn it off, and I've looked through the internet.
The file association?
I need to open it up as a PDF.
Okay. File associations. Have been a common topic of the day here. So
yeah, what version of Windows are you using?
10.
Okay, yep. And a recent version of Thunderbird. As far as you know,
the most recent. It's at work. This is my work, but we don't have an IT department at work anymore.
Okay,
they leave us to be self sufficient. What can I say?
Believe me, Maxine, we know
to call radio shows on the weekend to get the tech support that you need.
Yeah.
Well, then you got to tell your company to support Soundbites.
That's right.
Yeah. Or at least they support Thunderbird.
From the menu bar, there's a tools option.
Okay, hang on. I got to go hit my tubs and turn the radio down. I walked outside, so I wouldn't bother you guys.
Oh, thank you. good news. You'll be able to hear this back later on. I believe it'll be on YouTube and be on the podcast feed. So if you need to fast forward through the first hour, you'll be able to hit this call in the second hour. And we'll say hello to future Maxine.
Okay. Well, I don't have Thunderbird on my laptop yet, so it's new. But I'm gonna put you on speaker, okay?
Okay.
He's got
Thunderbird on his laptop. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me, guys?
Yep. Yeah. So under tools, you have options. Under that, you have attachments, and you can...
We have preferences, but not options.
You don't have options?
Under Thunderbird, I haven't seen that either.
It doesn't call it options.
I've got account settings and preferences, and that's what I've seen at work, too.
You need to remember it that way, too. Yeah.
Under tools?
For Thunderbird?
Yeah. That whole menu, there is no...
There's no options, no.
Nothing that says options.
Hmm.
Used to be in some programs, but a lot of them have gone over to using the word preferences instead. So that's what I've got here.
Interesting.
Huh.
We are searching madly.
No, that's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Let's check versions first. Go to your about page, Steve.
Should be the latest here. About is...
He's running 91.3.0, which, that's what I have at work.
Okay. 91.3, right. That was new as of November 3rd,
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when that started happening.
All right. I believe you. I'm ready to believe you.
I got you. You know me and Steve. We have the parachute kid.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That sounds like a story.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Who are you going to call?
Okay, so... If you double-click the PDF, Thunderbird doesn't ask you how you should open it?
Correct.
No, even right-clicking, we only get open, save as, detach, and delete.
All right. And this is the Windows version?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dagnabbit. Okay, well, the easy thing to do is to make it a two-step process. save the PDF and then open it in your reader.
Yeah, I know. But if you see how many I get all day, I got to do that, you'd be screaming at the pain of this.
No, I understand. I do understand. There is a PDF viewer that's a Thunderbird add-on, and it may be that you had that and it turned off.
Or maybe it's not supported by the new version.
Isn't it in the file association, though? I mean, if you go into Windows and under the file, you know, the...
Go to Windows.
That might do it.
You know, under Windows and the file extensions... And how certain extensions are, like text files, are associated with Notepad. And you can change the association. It's been so long since I've done that. But that's what you're trying to do. Because it sounds like what Foxfire did was change the association.
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird changed your association of opening PDFs instead of with, you know, whatever you prefer, with something else.
And then they locked it out, so you can't change it back.
It's under the changing file associations is what you want to Google.
Not in Thunderbird.
No, in
this
Windows.
This is in Windows itself. So open up. So listen. Okay, you talk. I'll just listen. Go ahead.
Is that the start button? Where do we go?
I'm trying settings. Is that
okay? None of that is right. Let me know when you're ready.
Go ahead.
Open up a file window.
I got you. Hang on. I know what you mean. I do it at work all the time.
A window explorer. Yeah.
Yeah.
An explorer.
I do it at work every time. I do it at work all the time to fix everybody.
Okay, so open up a file folder.
Hang on, I'm on his computer.
That has a PDF in it.
Yeah. Steve, where do you have all your PDFs in?
My PDFs.
Listen, can you write this down?
So once you get to a PDF file, then what should she do?
Once you get to the PDF file, right click on it.
Mm-hmm.
Under properties?
Yeah.
You select a file association.
Right click on it and say open with, and you can change the association.
And then you'll also be able to click a checkbox that says do this for all the future.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Gotcha. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, I'll try that at work.
Yeah, wonderful. Try that. That should do it.
Yep.
Okay. One more quick little question if you guys want to just think about this after I hang up.
All right, but take us off speaker, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Several weeks ago, my Notepad started opening up supersize whenever I open documents. Is there a way to stop that? Because I've tried to putting it back to default and everything.
What does supersize mean to you?
It means it opens it up like 300-400% size.
Okay, so it's zoomed in the screen. Zoomed on the text.
Yeah, and I've tried resetting it back to default and everything. I have to sit there and hit control -++ so I can read the document that they just sent me as a text file.
I will research that, and I will come back later on the show and let you know what I find out. So stay tuned, and I'll see what I can find.
Thank you.
Bye. Got it. I'm going to look up that Notepad situation. But it's tricky.
Well, I know you can change it if you hold the control key and then the scroll wheel up and down.
True.
We got a thing from Steve. It says, somebody moved a cable and he's getting it static.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that. So the the scroll wheel will do the zooming, but is there a way to define that for new devices, new things, documents that you're opening?
That should change it permanently. Alternately, the easiest thing to do is hold down the control 0. That sets the zoom level back to 100%.
Back to normal.
But, yeah.
Notepad zoom default. Yes, only on sound bites. Can you tune in to listen to people Google things?
Yeah.
Control 0, resume to the default of 100%. Right. All these things. Okay, yeah, zooming.
Somebody said font size?
So I want to tell you guys about something I learned this week. Switch gears. I learned, you know, we broadcast out of Rochester, New York.
We do.
And I learned that, talking about libraries, libraries here in Monroe County are fabulous, and I've always been a big fan, and I will fight to the death for libraries and librarians because they are my people, and I respect the hell out of them. So the other thing to know is you can use the library website to get ebooks and other things. So if you are stuck in the house, maybe you're homesick or maybe something else is happening and you just can't get out to the library, there are lots of options for getting ebooks and audiobooks without ever leaving your chair. And you can use their vast resources to go and get those things. But there are other places that you can get library cards for. I learned that the New York Public Library, you know, the Between the Lions place that's downstate, you can go and sign up and get a – if you are a New York resident of the state of New York, you can get a electronic library card for their library and get access to their very, very large collection of ebooks, audiobooks, et cetera, and move them right to your device, move them to your Kindle, and you can check them out for free. It's amazing. So if ebooks are something that you love, and if you are trying to save a few bucks for the holidays and want to try and get something from the library, you know, it all reads the same, that you can connect to the New York Public Library. And if you are a New York State resident, you can get a e-library card for free.
Nice.
That was a fantastic thing. I was really excited to share this week.
Nice. That is great. That is great because Lord knows I spend enough money on books. I have an answer for Maxine about Notepad Plus.
Ooh.
Or Plus Plus, or however many pluses you want to put on it. If you go to Settings,
okay,
Style Configurator, Global Styles, Default Style, you can change the color, the font name, the size, anything you want to change.
Okay.
So that's how you do that.
The default, so that new things that you open up that way.
Yeah, and right. I will at the break. I will also post that as a thing on.
Yeah,
I do we'll very much things. Appreciate that Steve does this during the show. He gets it done much faster than I do.
That's all right. We'll get it there.
Well we're all trying to do different things. You know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we kind of rely on you to keep us, you know, that part going. I'm running the board, answering the phones.
Yep. Nick is master of ceremonies.
And Steve is sitting there trying to make sure all the streams are going, and along with updating stuff that folks, you know, well, we'll post it on our website. That just doesn't
magically
appear out
happen.
Of the magic, you know, that just doesn't automatically happen.
The magic wand is still broken for that.
Yeah.
The parts have been backordered. It's that supply chain. That gets you every time.
One thing I did want to go back to, though, is when we were talking about, you know, watching the scams and all that for the holidays. One thing you folks might really seriously consider thinking about is if you have certain items that you're thinking of purchasing.
Yeah.
Order them well ahead of time, because right now, as you well know, and this is no dark secret, the mail is running a little far behind because a lot of them have, you know, suffered from COVID and there too. So the whole mail system is a lot slower, folks. So and the supply chain is also backed up. So, you know, instead of saving yourself all that stress because, you know, you wanted that particular item, oh, I got to have it. But you wait to the last minute and you think, oh, well, I can get two-day delivery. Well, not if they don't have it in stock.
You'd like to think you could.
Yeah.
And it's all fun and games until they hit you with that email that says, oh, we'll get that to you in 3.5 weeks.
But be warned right now, a lot of stuff is backordered.
No doubt.
And it's just a matter of trying to get things back to normal. We've been through a pandemic. None of us have experienced anything like this in our lifetime for most of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something we're all learning as we go along and trying to adjust to. So in that vein, you also have to adjust your shopping habits.
Didn't you have a news story about that with iPhones for this
week?
Yes,
in fact, I'll happily read that.
That's what I was trying to.
That's
Apple CEO Tim Cook, or as they used to call him, Tim Apple.
Tim Apple.
recently warned that component shortages have had a big impact than the bigger impact than the company expected, with iPhone 13 supply constraints adding to those affecting iPad and Mac. The new supply chain report suggests that iPhone 13 supply isn't expected to catch up with demand until February of next year.
Months
from now. The pandemic, growing demand for chips in the automotive sector, the long timelines needed to bring new chip fabrication capacity online have all conspired to create a global chip shortage. Apple has been better insulated than most companies due to designing its own chips and its buying power, allowing it to negotiate priority supplies up to and including entire production lines devoted to Apple orders. However, the chip shortage primarily affects what Apple calls legacy nodes, unexciting but vital industry standard chips like display drivers. The company first warned back in April that shortages were likely to impact iPad and Mac production, later adding that iPhone production too would be hit. In the most recent earnings call, where you never lie to anybody, Tim Cook revealed the supply problems had cost the country around $6 billion last quarter. Things remain unpredictable in the holiday quarter, and Apple again declined to provide earnings guidance for this reason. A DigiTimes report suggests that iPhone 13 supply will remain constrained through this quarter and into the next. There is, however, light at the end of the tunnel. The shortage of IC components emerging in early October for iPhone 13 series is gradually easing as suppliers increase production, with assemblers on track to step up manufacturing through next February to meet terminal demand, according to supply chain sources. Terminal demand here means supply and demand will be balanced. Okay. That's what terminal demand means. Not like demand is going to die.
No. It just means the end of the imbalance.
Switch planes. Yeah. The most recent market intelligence report suggests that Apple has now overtaken Xiaomi as the second to take second place in the global smartphone shipments. A separate one shows modest market share growth in the U.S. and dramatic growth in Europe. However, timing remains a big factor. Mm-hmm. So are you pining for a new iPhone 13? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Steve did from Greece, New York. Oh, hold on a second, Steve. Let me just say to Maxine that I have posted how to change the default settings, the default font in Notepad, so it's on our website.
Cool. So she can check it out there.
And now to Steve from Greece, New York. Thanks, Steve. What's up?
Well, good morning. Good afternoon. This morning about 4 o'clock, I was in the mood to dance, so I...
As he is wont to do, everybody knows this about Steve. This is not a surprise.
He's a dancer.
That's right.
I am a dancer. I really am.
Happy feet, Steve.
I was interested in a waltz for some reason. I don't understand why.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, man.
So I booted in a safe mode, did my my dance.
Okay. Got to do something till the sun comes up.
Yep, I do. So I was doing my dance. When I booted into safe mode, it went into the check disk.
Okay.
And that took a very long time, close to 10 minutes to run.
All right.
When I rebooted, my boot time, it's at least five times as long as it was before. And when it finally did boot, it doesn't recognize my password anymore. So I figure I can reset the password, but I'm wondering, the boot time scares me. I mean, and I've rebooted a number of times. Just five times at least to get back to my normal screen, and I don't know why.
Is this Windows 10?
Windows 10, updated. I was offered 11 and said no, thank you.
Okay.
Smart man.
Well, for now.
Yeah.
Don't want to be a pioneer.
That's right. Yeah. Those are the ones that always get the arrows in the back.
Exactly. But the thing you need to do is check your boot log.
Yep. The log will tell you what's been going on or where things might have gotten hung up.
Right. So the way to find it, the Windows key R opens the run command. Type msconfig, click OK or hit Enter, and click on the boot tab and check the boot log.
Okay. I tried that for other things in the past. I'm not saying it won't work, but it's been less than helpful.
Yeah, but it should. If you look down through that list, you'll see what loaded, and you may get to see.
It'll give you some clues at least.
Yeah, a clue at least. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You have to think of it like we're trying to solve a mystery here. You may not get the whole story from Walter Cronkite, but you might get some clues here.
Steve, now you said you've run the latest updates?
Yes.
See, that's what I'm wondering, because I've got a laptop that I set up about 3 or 4 months ago on Windows 10.
Okay.
It was my wife's old one, and I'm setting it up to do some other stuff. And I noticed it just seems, because I don't use it a lot, but when I went to boot it up again, supposedly, you know, it had been updated because I had to put in the password. Like Steve is saying, it's running slow.
Hmm.
I mean, I wasn't too concerned because it's, you know, just something I'm playing with. And I never gave it some thought until he mentioned that, yeah, mine, even with the latest update right now, is dog slow.
So if anybody else is...
Do you think it's re-indexing the drive, or is it just at boot it's slow?
No, everything, just booting up and everything else is just, you know, just to get it up and running. Before, it was, bam, you know, I could hit it, boom, right. I'd be a, you know, I could even do a restart, and it would quick, boom, bring up this other program, and I'd be back in. Now it's like takes 3 and 4 minutes.
Smells like some kind of background process might be running.
Yeah, it does. So if anybody else has experienced the same thing, I don't know if it's a Windows 10 issue.
That's, like I say, I don't use it that often, and this one was just...
The last time I up there ran my updates was probably 2 days ago, so I've been running for a couple days with the updates.
Okay, that's good to know.
And I want you guys to get out of here. I need to get away from you.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
Yeah, all right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worcester, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported jazz, 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Before we go back to the phones, let me just say for Steve from Greece, it may be the Windows 10 slow to boot after an update could be an incompatibility with some drivers.
Yeah.
Particularly the video driver. So I would go to the manufacturer of your video card.
Right.
Not to Windows, and see if there's an updated driver for Windows 10.
I'll give it a shot on mine too. Yep, that way, like I say,
could be other drivers as well, but the most likely candidate is the video driver.
Yeah, because, like I say, nothing has changed on it. It's not like I've updated any software other than the Windows, which just automatically updates. And it's just a good computer that I can play around with, experimenting with other stuff.
Sure.
And if it got mucked up, oh, well, no big deal. And I wasn't too upset about it. But it's a good place to, you know, do some testing.
Sure.
Before I move it over to my other stuff that I've got set up.
That's what I use my Raspberry Pi 4 for.
And if you've got a Dell machine, Dell has a really great piece of software called Dell Command Update that you can get. And it's kind of a one-stop shop that you can download and run. And it phones home to Dell, says, I am this device. It scans to see what all your drivers are. It scans to see if you need firmware updates, which a lot of people don't do. And it will go and fetch all of those and install them all for you. It's a fantastic tool that all Dell users should make use of.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Are you guys perhaps discussing Dell computers?
We can.
Just briefly. We were, yes, just a moment ago.
I had a similar issue. Whenever Dell's automatic update did a BIOS update on this thing,
okay. It
was over about a week, and then it settled back out to where it was supposed to be.
Interesting. Okay.
So you're saying you would update the BIOS, and then what would happen for a week?
the whole thing would run slower and snap.
For about a week.
That sounds pretty slow.
That's about the best description of mine.
Yeah. Yep.
See, I wonder if there's some background process. It's like rescanning the search index
or something
that's happening in the background, or there's some backups that are happening after you just did a bunch of file changes, some cloud backups that are getting pushed up or something like that.
One of the problems with Windows particularly is that, although all of them do this, it hides a lot of stuff that it's doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so even from like the manager, the
Program manager.
It hides stuff and you can't see what it's doing.
Right.
And that annoys the heck right out of me. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But it is not an impossibility that it's just a matter of time. And the longer you leave the machine on, the shorter that amount of time will be.
It's funny he mentions that because the laptop I'm working with
is a Dell.
My wife's laptop, old laptop, is a Dell.
Yep.
This is turning into interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't ever find a concrete reason, but I had two suspicions. A, Windows was updating its cache and everything. You know how Windows likes to cache things so it makes it look like it's faster than it really is?
Certainly a possibility. But it's more.
It was updating the cache. But then, after being tired of dealing with it, I just accidentally unplugged the damn thing from his power supply once shortly afterward. Then I plugged it back in, and okay, that problem's fixed. Go figure that one.
Huh.
That's so weird. Well, that may just be timing coincidence.
Yeah, because I can't recommend just blindly pulling the plug on things.
Right.
From a stability standpoint.
But. Yeah, that could mess up the operating system.
Well, no, this is a laptop, and it
was... Oh, I see. So it went to battery?
Yeah.
I pulled out of the power cord. It was still had its power, but through the battery. But I disconnected the power supply, and when I reconnected it, next reboot was normal. Okay, I don't make sense of that.
Right. And that may, like I said, that settings. May be a timing coincidence. But yeah, it is certainly likely that Windows is doing a whole bunch of stuff in the background. How long that takes, it's Windows.
Yeah, I'm going to play around with my laptop this weekend or this week.
Leave it on for a day. See what happens.
It's on all the time.
Yeah.
I just have it go screen darkening because, you know, it depends on what I'm doing up there. I might swing around. As you've seen my layout, it's sort of an L shape, and I can turn from, I've got the four monitors in front of me. I can turn to the left and quick do some work on this laptop to play around with it.
Try if it's been up for a few days, try rebooting, see what happens.
Yeah.
And I've done that, yeah.
Hit the task manager and see what's sorted by CPU and see what's up.
I'm going to first, like you said, that makes sense, though, with the video drivers and everything. Like I said, I really haven't given it a lot of thought because it's not like a high priority.
Right. Go ahead, Bob.
During an update, did you ever get a warning from the Dell computer, we don't recognize this power supply or something?
No.
That's a hardware issue, and if it's only during an update, what likely happened is that the driver for that device was in the process of being updated, so they stopped it, you got the error message, then they started it again, and that error message goes away.
That's normal for Windows. That's a good one. Like I say, that's why we wanted to know if anybody else was having this issue.
Right.
That's how we share a lot of the stuff on this program.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot that happens here where we're learning just as fast as you are.
Because when Dell does a BIOS update, other services don't even recognize the computer. Like the automatic login to Apple's iCloud Drive would have to be redone.
Right.
Like it's starting with a new computer and Apple saying, hey, who the heck are you?
Yeah, right. That's exactly right, because now it's got a slightly different footprint.
Right, Apple's very suspicious about those things these days.
Yep. Absolutely, I get that. But it is important to keep your BIOS up to date. Is it important to keep your drivers up to date? It's important to keep your system up to date. So, yeah, I get it.
Well, have a good afternoon. I just want to throw that out there.
You too, Bob. Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
What's harder is for people like me. I have a Dell desktop,
yeah,
but it runs Linux.
Right.
So all of the Windows tools don't help me very much.
That's right, yeah. So unless Dell makes a command update for Linux.
Or unless I install Wine and run it through that. But I still don't entirely trust Wine for something that goes that deep into the system.
I still don't entirely trust Linux.
Well, there you go.
but I, you know, as I get more and more into open source and understanding the goals of different distributions, then it starts to make a little bit more sense. But I would say it's always been a little bit of a black box to me, and people that are making choices about things that I may not have made myself, given the option, you know. So
But that's true of the Apple OS, and true of Windows,
yes,
as well. So
right.
You know, it's you just pick your black box and go.
Yeah. There's a lot of first party documentation and support, and some of the Linux stuff maybe not so much.
Well, it is, but there's no company behind it. It's the person who actually wrote the the bit there that wrote the documentation.
That's true.
All right, back to the phones, and our next caller is William, all the way from Hampton, Virginia. Hi, William, what's up?
Hey, fellas, an earlier caller had mentioned an issue with VLC in Android, and
yes.
I think it may also be in the desktop, because I've been running Zorin 16, and I noticed that with certain MP4s, it will strip the video but play the audio. The reason that I think the issue may be with VLC itself is because I'm able to play the same MP4 in a variety of other Linux players that I've been using, and without any noticeable problem.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. That's what I said.
Hmm.
That is interesting.
I think there may be an issue with VLC stripping the video portion of the codec. Or for some reason or another, and that may be a fault with the way they're writing the code or whatever. I don't know. It's just an observation.
Yeah, for that version of the codex.
Yeah, what operating system are you running?
Zorin OS 16.
Okay, one thing you might try is in VLC, you might try disabling hardware decoding in FFmpeg.
FFmpeg. Yeah.
That's probably the back end you're using inside VLC to play MP4s. If you are using hardware decoding, and your driver or your video card itself doesn't do hardware decoding, then that's your issue right there.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know, because I have a Toshiba laptop, which has, I guess, a pretty generic type of video card.
So it may not do hardware decoding. So make sure that hardware decoding is disabled. You go to, in VLC, you just go to your inputs, your codecs.
Right.
There's a choice there, and then video codecs, and then FFmpeg, and disable hardware decoding.
Yeah. Okay.
Give that a shot.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
Yep. Let us know.
Thanks.
Yeah. Sure. Bye bye.
That's an issue for Linux. I don't honestly know if it's the same in Windows, but it certainly can't hurt to try that as well. In the settings, you just go to your inputs for your codecs. You then go to video codec. Codec is a compiler decompiler. It's the thing that translates. Compressor, thank you. Compressor decompressor. It's the thing that takes the video and decompresses it so you can view it,
mm-hmm.
or compresses it so that it can be saved.
Stored, yeah.
And they're called codecs. And so you have input codecs and output codecs. Under input codecs, you have your video codecs and your audio codecs.
Yep.
In this case, it's the video codec. One of them is FFmpeg on Linux. I don't know if it's the same under Windows. But if you have hardware decoding enabled, disable it. Because your video driver and card
don't offer that.
May not support it.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So that'll do that. So give that a try. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Oh, did you see the latest version of operating system for Cody?
I have not looked at it yet.
I mean Raspberry Pi.
Raspberry Pi. The new Raspberry Pi, which is 64-bit and faster.
And I haven't installed it yet.
Yeah, I haven't installed it yet.
Oh, I was watching another YouTube video for the Pi 4 with the 8 gig. He recommends the Pi 4 with the 8 gig. I haven't finished watching the video. Hopefully, matter of fact, it was just today I was watching another portion of it, but I got to get through all of it. It looks like it's a very interesting one that I've got another Raspberry Pi. I might strip that down and try this new operating system because, as we've been saying before, folks, that's the whole fun about this Raspberry Pi. I can sit there and I've got an extra hard drive. I can load this operating system onto this hard drive, pop it in, play around with it.
You mean micro SD card?
No, I'm using another.
You can use an external hard drive as well. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm using that because that's the way I've got it set up now, my mm-hmm. Pi, and it's easier. And I've just put this other drive in there. I plug it in and boom, it boots up and I can play around with different operating systems, but you know, and shut it down and I can go back to my old one. And you can do the same with the micro SD cards, but this one looks very interesting in that, you know, if you're a gamer and like to play, whatever, you know, whether it's the farming or, you know, any of these other games or Call of Duty and all that, they're pretty responsive. And again, this is working off a simple little Raspberry Pi. And hint, hint, with the holidays coming up, you might want to look into one, though, you know, as a gift to somebody that might want to play around with it and enjoys doing that type of stuff. And playing around because it's not that much money and you can try different things. And it, you know, for a simple little micro SD card, if you're going to do all your stuff off of that, you can literally get, you know, 3 packs for not a heck of a lot of money. Load the operating systems, they're usually 32 gig ones, load different operating systems and play around with them. And you'd be amazed. And they're pretty, resilient in that they, you know, don't mind being switched from one, you know, one operating system to the other, switching them in and out and have a lot of fun with it and learn more.
What they did was they went from GDK 2 to GDK 3.
Yep.
GDK is the GIMP toolkit. Well, it used to be the GIMP toolkit. Now it's just GDK.
Yeah. GDK.
And they went from 2 to 3. And 3 has a lot more features.
A built-in word processing and all this other stuff that before you had to go out and get those other applications and, you know, install.
No, those things are added, but GTK Plus itself really is the thing that does the borders of the Windows and all of that
stuff.
I was
talking about just the whole
package.
No,
I understand that, but GTK Plus itself is just... Yep. The borders and the speed with which that stuff happens and the fancy transitions and all of that stuff. And that wasn't available as much in GTK 2, but is in GTK 3. You still have to have a pretty decent video card and the right driver to take advantage of it. But Raspberry Pi has those.
Yeah.
And so the GTK 3 will give you a prettier front end.
And it looks like it gives you notifications now that it didn't used to give.
Right.
And it will also notify you when there are updates available.
Right.
So that you don't
and I've been using that. I've been using that for a long time on my desktop, and I've got these gorgeous decorations around my window borders and stuff, and it's gorgeous. And that stuff is finally coming to the Raspberry Pi.
All right. Here's a question specifically for you.
Yeah.
Who's doing more with their Raspberry Pi 4, you or your daughter?
Oh, my daughter. There's no question, my daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we haven't heard, you know, you said how you got her one.
Yep.
And we haven't heard much. Whether she's really getting into...
She's mostly playing games like with it right now.
Like the Hoover, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Suck her right on into
she's
it.
She's had a lot of stuff at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the game playing and the playing with the machine itself to learn it has kind of gone by the wayside. After a long day of work, she's pretty well burned out.
Toast, yeah.
And I get it. But she's still got it. She's still happy with it. It's still hooked up. It's still running every day. So, yeah. Yeah.
I was just curious whether who's programming a little more than...
Oh, her.
She's passed dad up.
She's passing dad up, and that's perfectly okay with me.
You know what? That's actually a nice thing about kids is when they get into something and they end up being better at it than you. At first, it's kind of annoying, but then you realize, you know what? If it was going to go one way or the other, I'd rather have my kids be better at something than me.
Yep.
But the other key thing is, as a parent, you can always go and use that as an excuse. Hey, I've got a question for you about this or that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're on the same level, you know, because the same interest.
That's true. It's like, it's a chance to spend time together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just another excuse, you know, not that you really need it, but it just brings it that much more closer. And that's where I've said a lot of folks have gone the opposite way.
Yep.
You know, they're here or there. And just to have something that, you know, you can share in common and build upon. Oh, hey, Dad, I was doing this or that. Oh, cool. You know? And
yeah. Yeah.
So what's your go-to vendor for Raspberry Pi hardware?
Canakit.
Oh, yes.
Canakit.
And you can find them on Amazon, too.
And what do you like about that vendor?
They have been insanely nice. Well, they're Canadian.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So I've told this the exact that checks out. So I've told this story about my Raspberry Pi 4. When I first got it, I plugged in and it was dead.
Oh, I remember this story.
They didn't even ask. They just said, "Box it up. Let us know the return number you get from UPS or whoever. And the minute we have that tracking verified, number. We'll send you the tracking number. We'll send you a new one." So they crossed in the mail. I got the second one. I plugged in, and this time I had my hearing aids plugged in. And I heard it sizzle. So I knew that it wasn't the Raspberry Pi. It was the power supply. But I called them and I told them that. They said to send it back. Not a problem. Again, I gave them the tracking number, crossed in the mail, done. No questions, no problems, no wait till we get it. No, it'll take us 4 weeks.
Right.
They passed in the mail. That makes them A1 in my book.
Mm-hmm. With the regular Raspberry Pi, because you got the 4, but with the Raspberry Pi 4, what I like about it and that they include in theirs, it might sound, you know, silly to some folks, is within the power supply, they also supply this other little switch that goes between the power supply and the Pi. So instead of just quick yanking the power out,
right,
you can shut the Pi down and then turn the power off properly.
I don't know whoever turns their Pi off. That's blasphemy.
That's crazy talk.
That's crazy talk.
No, it's not. When you like me that are switching operating systems,
I have
to shut it down, pull that card or hard drive out to plug in the new one so it can restart. That is a very handy feature than having to crawl down underneath or try to undo the power from the side of the Raspberry Pi.
Right.
I have found that very beneficial.
Right. But for those of you, and they sold a bucket load of these things during the pandemic because people were home. They wanted to play. They didn't want to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So you spend $100 on a Raspberry Pi 400. And you have everything except a monitor. You're kind of done right there. You're ready to go. I got to be honest.
It's a single board computer the way, you know, an Apple One was a single board computer. Exactly. It's just, you know, 40 plus years
old. And much more powerful than those Apple Ones. Much more.
And don't be fooled by the size of it. You might think, no,
what can you do with this?
This has got to be a kid's toy.
Yeah, the answer to what you can do with this? Everything.
Yeah.
Whatever you can think up. Pretty much.
Exactly. I replaced, like I've told folks, I have replaced an old server.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, 3 foot tall, folks, that sat down in the basement for over, you know, we've had it running for over 17 years.
With a 400 watt power supply and.
Yeah.
Now it's
think of the energy you're saving.
Brought to you by your friends at RG&E.
This sits now over in the corner next to my hub.
Yep.
I ran a line over to it, and it just sits there with this 2 terabyte SD hard drive backing up and running my files.
Mine's doing the same thing on a 2 terabyte spinning drive because I had an extra one sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
So why not use it?
Yeah.
You're recycling it.
I'm recycling it, and I might add another one. But if you're looking for a toy, the 400, which only has 4 gig of RAM, that's more than enough for 90% of everything.
Fine. People don't use mostly power in the machines anyways.
And it has everything with it except the monitor. So you plug it into your monitor. It includes the cable, by the way, to plug it into the monitor. It just doesn't come with the monitor.
Now, if you don't have an extra monitor, you could use your television.
You could use your television.
It's
anything
like
that 80s. Has an SD, HDMI connector will show you what's on the Raspberry Pi. And I use mine all the time, and it sits there and whoops away for me all day long. It's great. I also, in my case, I remote desktop into it to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I get my graphical user interface from my desktop.
And meanwhile, it could be running in a drawer.
And it could be. It's sitting over next to the printer.
It doesn't need a cooling fan. It doesn't need moving parts. It just sits there and does what it does. And it can connect to Bluetooth keyboards and mice. It can connect to Wi-Fi.
Has USB 3 on it. Has wireless and wired.
And
my iPads.
And there's a new hat for it. There's a set of pins for the 4. This is for the 4 now.
A place to plug stuff in.
To plug stuff in. And they have boards that you put on top. They call them hats. There's a hat now that connects to Legos.
Oh, really?
So, you know, all the Lego motors that you can do to run stuff, you can now connect those to your and use the Raspberry Pi to be the smart piece.
Interesting.
Of it.
The one that I was reading about was the hat that lets you do power over Ethernet.
Yes.
To power it. So you don't even have to connect it to AC power. If you've got a network jack nearby and you know that that jack is supplied with, 802.3AF?
I think so.
that supplies the power. You can power up your Raspberry Pi via that.
Yep. All right. That's it. That music tells us that we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray out there high atop a mesa.
Squinting at the horizon.
Squinting at the horizon, keeping us running. On Facebook and on YouTube and on StreamYard. Drinking his Diet Pepsi. I want to thank Dennis Worcester, who was kind enough to upend his entire weekend.
Happy to do it.
To come in here and play with us. I'm Nick Francesco. Please remember to join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. soundbites.org/lounge. Refresh it at 9 o'clock and you'll see a link to the lounge. It's a video chat. We'll be there till 10. You're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.